Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to the third innings. My name is Maxwell Charles, and alongside me, as always, is my co-host and good friend, Prasuk Jain. So, Prasuk, it's all done and dusted now. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling quite empty. If you had to describe your feelings on this last test in one sentence, what would it be?
It's deja vu. It's exactly the same that we saw in the last three tests. The only difference was the pitch number, especially as compared to the last test. I would start with a recommendation for Virat Kohli. I think he should skip the formalities of having the toss. He should just ask the opposition what they want to do. It doesn't work like for him like this.
Very Zami cricket stuff.
Yeah, exactly. What do you feel like doing today? To summarize the game, England won the toss, which they had to, as we discussed last time, toss jeeta, match jeeta. But they didn't really use it. They could only manage 205 in the first innings, with Stokes scoring a 50. He scored 55, and Lawrence also played a good innings for 46. Mm-hmm. Akshar Patel continues his love affair with his first overs, picked up another wicket, ended up with 4 for 68. India in the first innings, a lot of hopes from them, especially went into bat in the first day itself. They didn't manage to take advantage of the batting wicket. They could only manage 365 in the first innings. Although it's a very good score as compared to English scores, but they were in trouble in between. Pant rescued them. Pant made a very good century, along with a brilliant innings by Washington Sundar with 96 not out. The heart is still hurting. Stokes was the bulk of the... Stokes did the bulk of the damage with 4 for 89, but Anderson bowled very superbly. He took 3 for 44 as well, including 14 maidens. England in the second innings, they were hoping for a better performance to come back and deplete the deficit, but they couldn't manage to do that. Could only score 135 in the second innings. Lawrence scored 50, batted brilliantly again. But the only challenge that India had was who takes the 5 for this time. But both Akshar and Ashwin, they managed to take 5 each. Akshar Patel 5 for 48 and Ashwin 5 for 47. And India didn't have to bat again. The difference that we saw in the pitch was it was supportive of the batting. Another thing that we saw was that the pace of the ball that was lost after pitching in the third test with the pink ball, that was between 10% and 14%. And in this game with the red ball, the pace lost was between 21% and 26%.
Oh, wow.
So we already see the difference of how the ball is behaving on the same ground. And that was another reason, as we discussed, for those dismissals with the straighter deliveries, because now the red ball is coming slowly at you, so the batsman had more time to adjust.
So that means Anderson is probably bowling at about 75 kilometers an hour by the time it reaches the batsman.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that.
And Stokes as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was a good wicket. And I think we can kind of leave it at that. But like what you were saying, what it really showed was the quality of the previous pitch at the same ground. As we mentioned in our third test review and the preview as well, it was going a bit overkill trying to ensure that it was a spinning wicket to just really grant that win to India and secure that place in the World Test Championship final. So we know this pitch was good for batting. Maybe someone didn't mention that to Siraj, who came into the side to replace Bumrah. What did you make of the team's lineup?
Well, India was pretty much unchanged, apart from the forced change that they had to do in the form of Siraj for Bumrah. But the England team selection was the interesting one. Dom Best was back, finally. But I think England messed up their batting order. Again, Bairstow was at 3. And they went in with 7 batsmen. That meant Stokes had to take the new ball, something he has never done before in his career. And they ended up with 4 bowlers, including Stokes. That was the interesting part for me, going into a game when you already know it's going to be supportive of batting. With 4 bowlers, including Stokes, who only bowled 15 overs in the first 3 games. But Yeah, it was an interesting decision, especially given the fact that England won the toss, so they would have hoped to bat at least the first 2 days and then maybe bat India out, but that didn't happen. Maybe it could have changed. Maybe the team selection could have changed had England lost the toss. But there's no way to know that. What do you make up of the team selections?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with you. I think Siraj was a logical replacement for Bumrah. I don't think Siraj has done much wrong in his career so far, so why not give him another chance? Mm-hmm. Only other real option was Umesh Yadav, wasn't it? But he's coming back from injury, so they're probably not going to take that chance. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, we're best at three still. You know, they're backing him in the way that they thought maybe the first test that he played was just a fluke with his pair, but they didn't give that same respect to Dombes. Really. Lawrence at, where was he at? Seven?
Yeah.
With folks in at eight. Yeah. Trying to bat deep, but like you said, in batting deep, they really took out a weapon that they needed on this ground. If you're not going to make a score of 350 with eight batsmen in your side, you're not going to make a score of 350 at all. So might as well stock up on your bowling fronts and try to bowl the other team out for less. Plenty of good performances, especially from the Indian side, this match. Who do you think really stood out?
I think it's getting very repetitive to mention Akshar Patel and Ashwin with their performances going on. Akshar Patel again impressed with his bowling, chipped in with the bat as well, made a good 43 in the second innings. Ashwin, as we all know, picks up wickets like anything. Someone who stood out for me was Washington Sundar with his 96. Mm-hmm. The way he batted, very typical test innings. And he was looking very good for another 50 runs had that little accident not happening. But
it's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
But instead of a colossal F up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was completely out of the play. Even England weren't expecting that. England were down on their haunches and they just surrendered.
Stokes literally down on his haunches.
Yeah, exactly. I think he fumbled the ball on his run up on one of the balls and he just kicked the ball away.
Yeah.
And that told you, the batsmen, everyone, that England had surrendered.
Yeah. Well, he was obviously going for a Matt Renshaw. When Matt Renshaw toured last, he got a bit of a bug in his stomach and had to retire hurt to go and use the bathroom. I believe Adam Border said, well, if you're not willing to shit yourself for Australia, then why are you even playing for us, kind of thing. Stokes went the opposite way and just decided to get himself out so he wouldn't have to face that brunt exactly. From the English selectors. But yeah, like you said, Stokes, really, he bowled really well. He was the workhorse, really. And in some ways, England are lucky they didn't select Archer in this test. Otherwise, we would have seen what we've seen countless times in Archer getting bowled into the ground and him just losing everything. A bit unfair to Stokes, though, because he really was the only one who stood up in the first innings with a bat with that 55 until Washington Sundar spoiled his fun. He kept England in the game until the Axar Sundar partnership. 4 for 89 off 27.4 overs. He bowled 10 more overs than Dombes. How many times does that happen? 9 more overs than Joe Root. He bowled more than James Anderson by 4 overs. But that really shows how much, in any conditions, England are reliant on their seamers to trust to get wickets.
Especially in Indian conditions where the spinners are doing most of the work. Ishan Sharma didn't even bowl any balls in the second innings.
Well, he didn't even bother to field.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that tells you the difference of the strategy as well.
I didn't know that was an option. If you figure you're not going to get a bowl, you just don't have to come out and field. I'm gonna have to use that this season.
I think it's the last game, so they are not worried about getting fined or banned for the next game.
I'm not worried about losing my match fee either.
Exactly.
Yeah, if anything, be good. Save me 30 euros.
The lunch fee.
Well, you'd be a very happy chappy after this series. But, of course, it's cricket, so we can never truly be happy. There's always something that annoys us. What is your fired up moment for this test?
I really don't understand how the England team management is planning their teams. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not just the team selection, but also the order of who does what. I'm really disappointed and clueless about what is Bairstow doing at number three. as we also discussed before, number three is that position where every team plays the most solid batsman, someone who puts a huge heavy price on his wicket. And Bairstow is a complete opposite. I think you're hoping for him to complete his shooting gallery. I think he's there.
Yeah, he should be there.
Another duck.
I believe it's 6 in his last 9 innings in India now.
Yeah, exactly.
6 ducks.
Yeah.
It's a whole over of ducks. That's...
out of 9 balls. That's... So it doesn't make sense at all for him to be, first of all, to be justified to be in the team. Secondly, even if they have to play him based on their selections, number 3 is the last position he would be playing at. He can play a role at lower down the order when he can have the license to score at his will. But number 3, losing his wicket in the first ball, first 2 balls, putting pressure on Root, Pope and everyone else is just not working for England.
Yeah. Oh, I think we have the same fired up moment. And just like you said, he would have the freedom to play how he wants lower down the order. And I do think Pope would have the freedom to play how he wants at the top of the order, yeah, at number 3. And there is that whole thing, maybe he's too young to be promoted at number 3. Well, he's not doing any better at number 6. It can only go one way. So either you try him at number 3 and maybe it'll succeed, or you keep him at number 6 where he's not really doing that well.
And how do you define too young? I mean, you see people, batsmen of his age doing wonders. Yeah. So how do you... I mean, he has played enough, mm-hmm, to understand how his game works, for the team management to understand how his game works and put him in the best position for the team. Mm-hmm. So that's a very lame reason if England has that reason that he's too young.
Yeah. Well, on the opposite spectrum, who would be your man of the match?
Well, I'd have to agree with the sponsors, with the management. I would go for Rishabh Pant. Simply because he was the only one, not the only one he was, but he played a huge part in bringing back India into the game. After what Stokes did to it with the bowling, India were back, and England still had their noses ahead until Rishabh Pant came in. And had he went out for a very cheap score, India would have been in trouble. England could have actually gained some lead as well. And from there, Pant rescued the team and played a brilliant knock against his natural game in the first half, where we saw him playing a very typical test innings. And then in the second half, we saw the typical Rishabh Pant, you know. So that was very impressive for him to show that maturity, finally. And he is improving his wicket-keeping as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely saw that this series. There was a lot of question marks coming into the series about his keeping. And there's that old saying, is if you're not talking about the wicketkeeper's keeping, then he's probably doing a good job. And I haven't heard any chat about Rishabh's keeping besides, wow, look at that stumping kind of stuff.
Exactly. Especially on these pitches when the ball is turning and bouncing a lot. It looks easier than it is. And him doing what he does, what he is doing behind the stumps is a wonder. What about you? Who is your man of the match?
Well, I think Pant is the obvious option, but I think Washington Sundar might be able to consider himself a little bit hard done by. He played a similar knock to Pant in the sense of runs scored. He scored 5 less runs than Pant, to no fault of his own. In the end, 96 not out. He got Stokes out in the first innings on 55, and he was the only batsman really looking fluid. Yeah. Stokes could have gone on then and made it 80-odd, 90-odd, and then all of a sudden India had to bat twice, you know. He stopped that. He made sure that England weren't going to pass that 250-ish mark, you know. He batted a long time with Pant. He played a true kind of gritty test veteran-esque innings, and I think that just put the kiss of death on the Three Lions. Just really ensured that victory. For my man of the series, as now we go over to look over the entire 4 tests as a whole, I have another newbie to the Indian side, the one and only Akshar Patel. He was equal to Dilip Joshi in the most wickets for an Indian in a debut series. However, he did that in 3 less tests than the renowned Dilip.
Amazing.
It's the 4th highest of any bowler ever from any country in a debut series. He took 27 wickets at 10.59. His average going into the 10s at the end of this test match, as England finally cracked 200 for the first time in 5 innings, the longest spell they've had for that in 100 years or so.
Barely.
205. Hey, 200 is 200. Axar Patel, he looks ready-made for test cricket. It looks like he was moulded out of clay or marble to be a test cricketer. And he's just yet another bowler in the production line of Indian talent that are just immediate there at a moment's notice to make that jump to test cricket.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see him in overseas conditions, how he performs. And we still have to see him bat at his best. He's a better batsman than we saw. And
we saw that in the second innings of this test where there was 43 before he decided to jump on some train tracks pretty much and end it all. But no, like you said, excited to see him in overseas conditions. I think he's going to perform well in overseas conditions, especially in places like South Africa and Australia, because of the height he has and the bounce he gets and the natural overspin he gets on the ball. He's going to have a similar effect to a Nathan Lyon, who puts artificial topspin on the ball. His natural topspin combined with the large amount of movement he gets is going to make him really tricky.
And the consistency.
And the consistency as well. Drops it on a dime or on a lime, whichever you prefer. What about you? Who's your man of the series?
I'd again go with the sponsors. I would pick Ashwin again. Simply because of being the highest wicket taker in the series, he picked up 32 wickets in 4 tests and also chipped in with the bat. He was the 5th highest run scorer in the series and he scored that very, very important ton which let India win the game, and that was very important. And we have seen it time and again from Ashwin, but it never gets old. And looking forward to seeing him more.
Definitely. Definitely. So, a lot of good moments to choose from. But as is the law of the third innings, we have to choose our moment of the match. Personally, and you know me, Prasuk, I am a Gujarati, raised Gujarati man. And my moment of the match is the Ahmedabad crowd cheering for Lawrence when he made his 50 in the second innings. We were watching that live together, and I believe I immediately said to you, oh, wow, look at that. Everyone's standing up. Everyone's clapping for him. Perhaps it's because the test was almost over and India knew they were going to win, but I think it was also just a class act by the crowd.
That was heartwarming.
Yeah, it made me respect them a lot. Not that I didn't respect them before, just even more. What about you? Your moment of the match.
I'll have to go for Pant versus Anderson. It's again, as you said, it's difficult to choose from all those moments when everything is being played in the perfect spirit of the game. But Anderson takes the new ball. It's over number 80. He goes into bowl his first ball. Pant runs down the track and hits him over mid-off. And everyone's like, wow. Stokes at slip. He has his eyes down. I think he turned his back to Anderson because he had nothing to say, and everyone is smiling because there is no answer to that. And then the next over, we see a reverse lap over first slip. I mean, who would dare to hit those two shots against Anderson, who has over 620 wickets? It couldn't be anyone apart from Pant. And again, that was another nail in the coffin for England, just sending a message that you're done. You're done here. This is our game, and there's nothing you can do. It's in complete control of the Indian team.
For a long time there, England looked like they were really waiting for that new ball so they could bring in their seamers to have a proper effect. And then Rishabh Pant just coming straight out of the blocks and dominating that new ball. Like you said, it just really put a stamp on, yep. No, you might think you might be back in the game, but you're nowhere even close. I believe I heard Pant say, when asked, how did you do that? Like, how did you know to do that? He pointed out that Anderson bowls the same ball pretty much every time. Yeah. Every time he comes on the bowl, he's going to bowl it in that spot, try to tail it back in. There wasn't that much movement in the air or off the pitch, even with the new ball. So not to dismay Rishabh Pant's achievements, but yeah, he just made it abundantly clear. Anderson puts the ball in the same spot, and we might be seeing a switch in test cricket where we get the T20 influence now, 15 years after it's been introduced, 15 odd years, where these innovative shots come into play because test cricket is so monotonous, where he's going to put the ball in the same length each time, that if I can manage to, try to, like, yeah, like he did, mm-hmm. lap it over the first slip. They're going to try and do that because they're comfortable doing that. Mm-hmm. And many people say that's not Test cricket, but I'm excited for that. I'm excited for that until probably an Australian player gets out doing one of those shots and that, yeah, it's not Test cricket. It's not Test cricket. Stupid. Out of the song.
Well, that's what Matthew Wade did in the last series against India. And it at least fired me up.
Yeah,
being a Test cricket fan. Although I was supporting India, I was very happy that he did that. But as a Test cricket fan, it's not what I watch Test cricket for. And yeah, as you said, there's going to be a lot of influence of T20 in tests. But I still believe that that sort of bowling of pitching the ball in the same spot time and time again, it's still going to reap rewards for the bowlers. Because although batsman is expecting it, you still need to play it because it is the best ball and that's the reason the bowlers are trying to pitch there. Hitting top of off. It's not easy. And again, if you are able to do that, then you're a good batsman and you deserve it. So that's the beauty of cricket. That's the challenge. That's the game we watch for.
Yeah. I don't think Matthew Wade really brought the T20 innovation into those shots. I think he brought the park cricket innovation into those shots. Yeah.
Or maybe some other sport.
Yeah. Hockey.
Could be, yeah.
Or lacrosse.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of,
yeah.
Soccer. Anything. It just wasn't cricket.
No.
So obviously, horrendous tour for the English, and it's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons I'm happy to not be English, as much as my accent would suggest. But there had to be some positives to take for the English from the series. Can you maybe give me 3 positives that they could leave this Test series having?
I think, as Ravi Shastri rightly mentioned, the scoreline of 3-1 doesn't really suggest what actually happened. The series was closer than it looks like at the end. England did have a few positives to go home with. I'd say Foulkes. He was looking the most secure with the bat of the whole English lineup. In terms of giving his wicket away cheaply, he was not looking to get out as comfortably as the others were. And also, he's one of the best wicket keepers we are seeing in international cricket right now. The way with which he moves behind the stumps, the comfort that he has, rising up with the ball, going down with the ball, feels very natural, feels good to the eye, and I think he has a long future ahead with England. Another one I would say, Lawrence. He showed improvement in his stay at the crease as the series developed, and I can see that it's going to lead him up the order in the future. He's not going to bat 7 after this. Hopefully he can take up number 3, number 4, number 5, something like that around Root and Pope.
Just on both of those batsmen, on Foulkes and Lawrence, the difference they had against the other English batsmen is they trusted their technique. They kept trusting their technique even when they were scoring 8 in an innings, I believe Foulkes did. Mm-hmm. And his average at the end of the series was 19 odd. Mm-hmm. But that 19 allowed for partnerships because he was scoring 19 off 58 balls, yeah, kind of thing. He was out there for time, allowing it to build partnerships. England barely had any 50-run partnerships in this series. I believe they had 1 or 2 or something like that. Not many at all, since the first test at least. Yeah. So what they did was they put a price on their wicket and they trusted their game, something that Dom Sibley didn't do. And Dom Sibley would have reaped more rewards if he kept trying to play that game rather than trying to take the attack onto the English bowlers. Some players have an attacking mentality, like Bairstow, but also like Stokes.
Yeah.
But Pope doesn't really have an attacking mentality, and he tried to have that attacking mentality, and in the end, it was like a chihuahua yapping at your feet, just like, kick it, get off me.
But you mentioned the average of 19. It looks very low, but if you multiply that with 10 or 11 with the number of people, it still crosses 200, and England didn't manage to do that. So an average of 19 still is going to be higher than what other batsmen got.
Yeah, I believe in total the English batsmen averaged about 17 for their wicket.
So he was above average.
Since the first test, I believe.
Yeah. And the third one for me is Moeen Ali, although he didn't play a lot of games, but he left on a high with his performance, with the ball and the bat. And I believe he's someone to look for in the IPL as well, and not just for the English summer, but also for IPL.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Moeen Ali taking Dom Bess's spot for the English summer if they need a second spinner at times. Otherwise, they might just stick with Joe Root. But if they're really looking for that second spinner, I think that he did enough in that one test he played to show to the selectors, hey, I'm back, kind of thing.
Unless they make him rest with their ridiculous rotation policy.
Unless they make him rest. We pay you to play, but we also pay you to not play sometimes. And, but I get why they're doing it, you know.
Yeah,
can't
but
spend 9 months away from home, kind of thing.
But they need to maintain the balance.
They do. They need to put priority on the test series rather than priority on the white ball series. Even though there is a T20 World Cup coming up, I think a world test champion, the chances of England winning that T20 World Cup, I think, aren't that high, really. Although they do have a lot of batting firepower, I think their bowlers just might not be that up to it. I think they're missing a couple bowlers in there. So I think they should have put more importance on this test series than they did. And just make sure, because in the end it was a month. You can have a month of all of your players being there at once. I don't think it was that hard. But then you also got to factor in the IPL that a lot of players are staying on. And they could spend 6, 7, 8 months without going home and seeing their family. In these trying times, it's almost impossible to stay in a hotel for that long.
Absolutely, I agree. But other teams are doing it as well. I'm not saying everyone should do it just because other teams are doing. Obviously, your mental health, your personal life, and your family should come first as well. But again, it's a fine line. A balance could have been maintained, and I'm pretty sure Indian management is going to look into it. But did you have any positive friend?
I too have three positives. My first one is Jack Leach has proved that he can be the man, I reckon, for a couple of years to come for England. He adapted well by the end of the series, not so much in the beginning, but by the end of the series, he didn't look at home, but he looked like he was on a, I don't know, 6 month visa kind of thing. You saw his results at the end, 18 wickets at 28. That's not bad for your first tour of India. You know, a lot of bowlers will snatch at that. Don Best would snatch at that.
he would snatch at just the wickets.
Yes, he'd snatch at one wicket. My second positive is Sharma and Gill, so it's Rohit Sharma and Shubman Gill, struggling against Anderson and Archer in the series. I think England will be hoping to see that continue and really ramp up when they play India at home this coming summer. And then my last one is, I think England realistically are one spinner, one proper test spinner, and a number three away from being a competitive side in Indian conditions. Sounds like a lot, but it could be much worse. They could be a spinner, a seamer, a number three, and a number six. I mean, they have the players, they just have to sort out the order. And I think, yeah, they have to find a number three and a spinner. I think if Sibley and Crawley and Burns have another tour to India, they'll do better than they did this time. I think they're going to learn from their mistakes. And I think that's, England have a lot of young players who they're going to learn. And they have a lot of time to have another 2-3 years of an Indian tour, 2-3 tours of India, sorry, and to really get those skills down pat.
We're also not going to see this sort of a batting performance by India anymore, I hope so, with four out of the top five, managing only 350s among them in the four tests. I don't think Kohli, Pujara and Rahane are going to have four tests without a century in Indian conditions. Especially two of the tests had perfect batting conditions and they only have themselves to blame for it. So in the next home series against England, I'm sure even with another better spinner, it's going to be a similar sort of tough work for England. But yeah, looking forward.
As am I. Something else I've been looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
It's our long-awaited end-of-series segment, our completely arbitrary ratings.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you the topic and you're going to fire straight back at me your rating for that topic out of 10 for the series. Okay?
Sure. Do I need to fire it as fast as Best or went back to his dressing room?
I don't think that's possible. Alrighty. So, umpiring out of 10.
7.
Pitches.
6.5.
England's batting.
3.
India's batting.
4.5.
England's bowling.
4.
Indians bowling.
8.
England's team management.
The highest prime number in negative.
I'm not very good at maths. I stopped doing it when I was 15.
It has more than 23,000 digits.
It has more than 23,000 digits.
In negative.
Okay, so about bigger than -5. Probably something like that. Okay, cool. All right, I got that. That's interesting. Huh. I think the biggest difference between your ratings and mine is India's batting. You didn't rate India's batting. You say below average, 4.5 out of 5.
For sure. As I said before, 2 of the 4 tests had perfect batting conditions. And the scores that we saw, none of the teams crossed 400, barring the first test, first England test, of course, England innings, of course. But given the kind of performance Indian batting had in Australia and the sort of confidence they had, and with the skills that Pujara, Kohli and Rahane possess, it was hard to believe that India wouldn't manage to cross 400 in this last test as well. India only managed to cross 350 in the last test because of Pant and Sundar, and who batted at the lower order.
Well, this is where we differ, because I consider Pant and Sundar as batsmen in this side.
No, don't get me wrong. I consider them as batsmen as well, but with the expectation that you have from the top order. So just imagine Pant and Sundar doing what they do, plus the proper batsmen who are supposed to bat better than them. That's the reason they're playing at 3 and 4 and 5 at the order. They are supposed to, imagine they scoring centuries as well on good batting tracks. India shouldn't be far away from scoring 600s and 700s on these pitches, especially when England were playing with 4 bowlers, including Stokes. So that keeping everything in mind, I'm not saying India's batting was bad, but it had a lot of potential which they didn't utilize, and it's disappointing. I think as an Indian fan, I was hoping for more.
Mm. Fair enough. Yeah, I rated them 7.5 out of 10. Yeah, I found it hard to rate them kind of average or below average when, one, they won the series, which had a lot to do with their bowlers, but you need runs to bowl at. Sharma scored a ton. Pant scored a ton. Sundar's 96 and another 50, I believe, earlier in the series. Sharma had a 49. There was glimpses of it, but they still had some very high scores. It was entertaining batting. They, besides the odd occasion, they weren't throwing their wicket away. They were mostly getting done by decent, if not good, balls by the English. I think it was one of those series where the top order didn't fire, but that's what makes Indian cricket currently so impressive, is that they don't have to rely on their top order anymore. Before it was, they had to rely on their top order because numbers 8 through 11 couldn't bat. You know, they were all Bumrahs or Sirajas, like we saw in this test, that kind of thing. Whereas now, even with the advent of Akshar Patel, like you said earlier, we're going to see him bat better in the future. I think that perhaps my 7.5 is more of a, it looks very promising. Mm-hmm. So like you said, they should have scored more, but I think if they did score more, I'd have them at a 9. So maybe I'm just too nice.
Maybe, or as you said, it's about if you ask me to rate the overall performance, overall batting performance, I would agree with you, overall batting performance. But if I compare it, or if I put it against the hopes or the skill that the Indian batsmen possess and the numbers they have behind their names, it was all under. I mean, Virat Kohli hasn't scored a century since forever. 32. Pujara hasn't scored a century since 28 or 29 innings as well. And Rahane has always been on and off. So it doesn't bode well against their names that they possess. And that's the reason of me giving it 4.5. I mean, if Kohli scored a century, if Pujara scored a century, I would completely agree. I would probably say 8 as the same as their bowling. But since that didn't happen, it's a 4.5 for me. A disappointing 4.5, but I hope they're keeping their centuries for the England tour. They're going to need that there more than they needed that here against firing Anderson and Broad.
True. Our second big difference, and I believe our only other big difference, is England's bowling. You gave them another below average score, 4 out of 10, whereas I gave them a 6.5 out of 10.
Interesting.
Yes.
What's your reason of 6.5?
I think if you're able to restrict India to under 300 in most of the innings that you're playing in India, you're obviously doing something right. Yes, they bowled a lot of full tosses. a lot of full tosses, but they also did a lot of things right. Even when they picked unbalanced sides, like in the pink ball test, they still looked like if you gave them enough time and the batsmen scored enough runs, they would pick up those 20 wickets that they needed in those conditions. Archer bowled well, Anderson bowled immaculately. Leach, like I said, really got in the groove by the end of the series. Joe Root was bowling well, especially in that third test with the Joe Root effect on the pitch as well. I think that they showed, yeah, it's another promising score. So it's a bit above average, because I think if they were average or below average, we would have seen India rack up 400 minimum scores, you know, that kind of thing. But they didn't. They managed to contain them, because this Indian team, with the skill that they have, even on these terrible pitches, not these terrible pitches, but even on terrible pitches, they're able to crack 300 often, whereas they weren't able to do that so often on these pitches because of the English bowlers, I believe at least.
I believe, I'm not saying England didn't bowl well, but I think the reason for Indian batsmen to not score was more to do with themselves than how England bowled. So at times we saw the Indian batsmen play a rash shot, something they didn't have to do. Very seldom did we see someone, an English bowler actually setting up an Indian batsman or getting someone out by bowling a beautiful ball. I don't seem to remember that too much. And more often than not, especially with Rohit Sharma, even when he was at 160 odd, he was caught in the deep. He played a sweep shot. He was caught at deep square leg. We saw that with Ashwin as well. I think when he was batting very well, he was caught at deep mid wicket, trying to hit a six. Every time we see how Rishabh Pant gets out. And similarly, Pujara, Kohli, they were all looking to play aggressively, being in a haste. And I believe that's the reason I'm giving them 4.5, because it felt like they didn't try enough. And that's the same reason England bowling gets a 4 from my side, because they were not penetrative enough to force a wicket. But eventually, overall, I'm very impressed with Leach, Stokes, Anderson, as always, Broad, from whatever we saw of him. And Archer, as you mentioned, they bowled superbly in the conditions they were given. But again, if you put the conditions into context, then I agree they bowled very well according to that. But if you see, if you compare it with the Indian bowling, how England bowling was so dominant, that even when the ball is not turning, it's in the head of the England batsman that is going to turn or do something. And they lost. That's how they lost the first 3 or 4 wickets in this first innings, all in the head. And that was the difference we saw with the Indian and the English bowling, to create that dominance and that put that doubt in the minds of the batsmen, which we didn't get to see. And that's the reason.
Well, I know we are all aching for more cricket, but fear not. We have 2 quarterfinals of the Vijay Hazare Trophy to keep us entertained on Tuesday. We have Zimbabwe kicking off their second test against Afghanistan after winning their first one quite comprehensively in the UAE on Wednesday. Also on Wednesday is the first ODI between the West Indies and Sri Lanka, with the Windies winning the T20 series 2-1. On Thursday, you can turn your attention to the Vijay Hazare Trophy again, this time for the 2 semi-finals, along with a bolter of a List A clash between Queensland and WA in the Marsh One Day Cup in Australia. And, well, that's all we have time for today. Make sure to give us a follow on the socials in the description and stay tuned for our new show coming out at the end of this week. Send us any questions you would like answered, either on the YouTube comments or in our Insta DMs. My name has been Maxwell Charlesworth, and alongside me, as always, has been Prasuk Jain. It has been a pleasure having your company, and we will see you soon.
Thank you.